Revelation, we're in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And just to bring you up to speed, I know maybe some of you haven't been with us, but Satan has been cast out of heaven. 30 of the angels have gone with him. The Bible does tell us that he's the god of this world. In other words, the god of the atmosphere. That's why so many weird things are going on, because the Lord is held back until God is going to come and take possession. He's already died for the trust deed of the earth, but then he's going to come back to redeem the earth, reign and rule. But now there's a 7-year period of tribulation where God pours out his wrath on the Christ-rejecting world. In spite of that, there's a great revival that takes place. But you find there's a great persecution as well from the Antichrist. And because he's cast down to earth, he's angry. And so he takes his wrath out upon the Jews and all those that have committed their lives to Christ. There will be the 144,000 witnesses. We'll see that in the next chapter. Well, we've already seen it in chapter 7. But also there are two angels in heaven that are crying out the word of God. And so there's a witness of God, angels in heaven, or those that are flying through the mid-heaven. So there's a lot of witness that is still going on. But the church is not here. The church, the saints in the church, we're taken home to be with the Lord, as we've mentioned, if you've been with us, and you can see those studies online. But now we're at a place here in chapter 3 where you find Satan is thrown down to earth, and you find he's also called the dragon, the great dragon, red dragon. He's got his foot on the sea and the foot on the land, and all of a sudden this beast comes up out of the seas, or out of the Gentile nations. And this beast is the Antichrist. He comes out and Satan gives him his power. It's this man, we know he's a man because you see at the end of this chapter that we're going to look at tonight, we know that he's infused with Satan, but yet he's a man. And now you're going to find that there's another beast, a different one, that rises up out of the land or out of the earth. And so that's what we're going to see. But first of all, it's interesting because we're in the last days. I think we're close to that. If you look at the news organizations, if you look at what's going on in the world, a lot will say, oh, this is just conspiracy theory. Well, it's not conspiracy theory. It's things that you see going on in the world. In fact, the World Economic Forum, their annual meeting was just a few months ago. And they convened with the most most consequential geopolitical and geoeconomic movement of the past 3 decades against the backdrop of one of the century's pandemics. They were talking about COVID pandemics. And the meeting, it brought over 2,000 leaders and experts from around the world, all committed to Davos spirit. Davos is in Switzerland. The Davos spirit of improving the state of the world. You see, this is a global thing that they're looking at. It's happened for about 50 years by Klaus Schwab. And it's happened for 50 years, but this is one of the biggest ones. And they're asking for global cooperation. And so in this new world order, this new economic forum, it's called the Great Reset. Biden has called it Build Back Better. You got to take away to build back better. And it's called the Great Reset, or this new world order. And all the elites were there, all the billionaires, and the social issues they talked about, the social governance, environmentalism, that's what they're all into. And you're going to find that the next problem, the next big thing will probably be that, where they'll try to control your life. But this fella, Klaus Schwab, he wants a totalitarian, and they want a totalitarian government, a world according to the elites, plutocracy they want, or the world governed by the wealthy. And so they want fewer people on planet Earth. They want less movement on planet Earth. They want us to go to eating. You could go on the website and see this. I encourage you to do that. They want us to eat bugs and live in high rises, electric cars only, but only for a limited travel that they want you to go. We own nothing. They own everything. And it's for your own good. That's what they say. And the power to censor speech. Isn't that happening right now? But that's what they want to do, censor speech. In fact, PayPal, if you read the news, just recently they were going to charge you $2,500, take it from your bank account, if you spread disinformation. Disinformation was anything they don't like. There was so much pushback and people fought, you know, coming away from PayPal, that they backed off on that. But you see, that's the push. They push, they back off. They push, they back off. With this two-year pandemic thing, they push, they back off. So this is what it's all about. And then the whole shutdown, this Klaus Schwab, he did a book, COVID-19, The Great Reset. That was before we had COVID-19 and we had the so-called pandemic, which they classed. But what it was is to see if the world would voluntarily commit itself to house arrest, how fast, and if they could do it. And remember, they said 2 weeks. We just wanted 2 weeks until we flatten the curve. 2 years later, a lot of protest. And now what we're finding, 60% of those that got vaccinated, those are the ones that died of COVID, that they're saying, 60%. So this whole thing is really a sham. And there is a book, if you want to maybe dig deeper into this, it's called Against the Great Reset by Michael Walsh. And what he does is he has a lot of contributors, very intelligent people. Victor Davis Hanson, he's one of the elites, really a brain of our time. Over 12 contributors. But you could see that. And you see, that's what's happening. There's a push for a one-world government. And that's what we're seeing in the book of Revelation. We've never seen anything like this. And we've never seen it coming so fast and so furious. And so what we're finding, after you find in the first 10 verses, you find now the Antichrist arises from the masses, the Gentile masses. He's infused with Satan. And now he's persecuting those that are not following him. And now there's another beast. That's where we pick it up, verse 11. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. Remember, he had a so-called fatal wound, and then he was so-called resurrected. It seemed as though. Maybe it was a fake resurrection or whatever it was, and drew the world's population toward him. And they thought, wow, this is something. But notice, it's another beast. The term in the Greek is allos, another of the same kind. The same kind as the first, but he has a different role. A different role. He's still beast-like, but he's very deceptive. Two horns like a lamb. He's lamb-like, yet he spoke as a dragon. So he has the same evil message against God and against God's people as the first beast. And he came out of the earth, or out of the land. Interesting, I'm going to speculate a little bit, but not me speculating, but I'm just going to tell you what other commentators say, because whenever it talks about the land, it refers to Jerusalem. So many believe that this one is a Jewish person. In fact, in Daniel chapter 11, verse 37, it talks about he will not have regard for the God of his fathers. That's why they think it could, you know, possibly a Jew. Nor of women. Now, you know, put two and two together. Nor of women. Is he just a woman hater or something else there? But they talk about. But he's a false prophet. He's a false prophet. You see it if you're a note taker in chapter 16, verse 13 of Revelation, 19, verse 20 of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 10 of Revelation. And so remember when Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing. Oh, he comes as a lamb. Bah, you know, coming, but he comes to deceive. It's hard to spot wolves. I mean, we've had wolves come into the flock here, and it's hard to spot them. And quite often you find that they come in sheep's clothing. They look like a lamb, they look like sheep, but they're actually wolves. Now this one, this false prophet, he's a copycat. He's a copycat because he promotes the first beast, the Antichrist. And remember when Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll testify of me? Well, this one, this false prophet's testifying of the Antichrist. So copycat, one who is just trying to duplicate what God did through Jesus Christ. Well, it goes on, verse 13. And he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image. Interesting. Interesting. And this blows my mind when I look at this and look at what they're doing here and I see what's happening, you know, especially with the artificial intelligence. Make an image to the beast who had the wound, or had the wound of the sword and has come to life, and there was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, and to the image of the beast might even speak and cause as many as do not worship the beast to be killed. So make an image and give it breath. Interesting, breath. Does that mean life? No. It's not life. It doesn't say give it life. You see, Satan, the beast, the Antichrist, can't give life. Only God can give life. This is simulated life. This is simulated life. It's the term there, breath, is pneuma, or breath. It's not Zoe. Zoe is life, something that Satan can't do. And it's an image. Remember, it's an image where the Bible talks about the abomination of desolation set up in the Holy of Holies. And then those who are in Jerusalem flee. It's the last 3.5 years of Revelation. You see it if you're a note taker in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, Daniel 11, verse 36, Matthew 24, verse 15, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Anybody looking at the artificial intelligence, what they're doing now? Doing pretty amazing things. I mean, you can have a car drive and park. I mean, they even have commercials about a guy pulling into a parking spot, you know, and hands off the wheel. It's artificial intelligence able to do that. They're doing that for medical situations as well. In fact, I looked at a site here. It says an expert player of the First World War strategy game, Diplomacy. Now, I don't know anything about that game. I don't play games online. But now it says participants in the game have conversations and negotiations without most human players realizing they're talking to a machine. Artificial intelligence, where you don't know that you're talking to something that is not human, doesn't have life. Or it, in a sense, has breath, it talks, and it cogitates kind of things. Its research is at Meta, the parent company of Facebook. They built the AI, named it Cicero, and it learned to play diplomacy. Let me tell you, this is something. Keep your eye on this. Because the physicist Stephen Hawking, he's not around anymore, he died, but very incredibly intelligent individual. And also Elon Musk, who bought Twitter and wants to turn it into, you know, now you can, you don't have to censor stuff, you know, you can have free speech, and now he's getting blasted for that. But they're talking about artificial intelligence. And they say, both say in this seminar, AI or artificial intelligence could potentially be very dangerous. Comparing AI, artificial intelligence, to the dangers of the dictator of North Korea. In other words, it could come on the scene as a dictator. That's what they're saying. I don't even think they're reading the Bible in this. At the core of artificial intelligence is about building machines that can think and act intelligently. The pace of progress in artificial intelligence, it is growing at a pace closer to exponentially. Not adding, not multiplying, but exponentially. It's just incredibly going off like crazy. The risk of something seriously dangerous happening is in the 5-year time frame. 5 years. Russia President Vladimir Putin said, artificial intelligence is the future, not only for Russia, but for all mankind. It comes with enormous opportunities, but also threats that are difficult to predict. Whoever becomes the leader in this sphere will become the ruler of the world. Only now will this image that's made and put of the Holy of Holy, that has breath, that can speak and almost in a sense think and fool the world. That's the time we're living in, folks. We've never lived in this time before. This is how close we are to the end. Elon Musk, he says, AI, artificial intelligence, is far more dangerous than nukes, than nuclear weapons. He says, I am really quite close to the cutting edge in AI, and it scares the hell out of me, he says. It's capable of vastly more than almost anyone knows, and the rate of improvement is exponential. Physicist Stephen Hawking said AI impact could be cataclysmic unless its rapid development is strictly and ethically controlled, unless we learn how to prepare for and avoid the potential risk. AI could be the worst event in the history of our civilization. Is it almost like they're talking about the book of Revelation? They don't know what they're talking about, but this is what's happening. Well, notice we go on. And he causes all, small and great, and rich and poor. This is verse 16. We come to an end. It's not going to be a long study, but I think it has a lot of impact here. Both rich and poor, and free men and slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand and on their forehead. And he provides that no one should be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man. You see, the man, the Antichrist, is a man, but he's demon-possessed. Satan lives in him. And that false prophet is demonized, probably one of Satan's best demons, demonizing him. And his number is 666. Now, the number is the number of a man's name. So much speculation. I'm not even going to go there. I mean, you have hundreds of those that have speculated on that. And so we don't want to speculate on it. It just throws us off base. But you see, in the Hebrew language and the Greek language, the alphabet corresponds to numeric values. So in the Greek, it's alpha, beta, gamma, delta. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. You see, they don't have the numberings, they have the alphabet. And it would be like A, B, C, D. If we didn't have 1, 2, 3, 4, we would have A is 1, B is 2, C is 3. That's how the Hebrew and the Greek. So in the Hebrew, it's Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Daleth, and that's the 1, 2, 3. So the number of the name is with the man. So they've always tried to put the letters together with the number and come up with who that might be. But you see, it's just sheer speculation. We don't know. But the point is, the important thing is, there will be a marking. There will be a marking, whether it's a tattoo, whether it's a chip, whether it's a vax, whether there's stuff in that vaccine that's moving throughout the body, whatever it might be, there will be a mark. Now, what is very interesting is the U.S. Department of Homeland Security has registered a patent for fusion proteins containing luciferase. Luciferase, Lucifer in the Bible, in Hebrew. They called it luciferase. What they're doing is they're denying, oh no, this doesn't have anything to do with Lucifer. Nothing. I think that's interesting. Why would he even go to the Bible to try to deny that? Unless somehow God, the Holy Spirit, had you name it that, but that's what it is. Luciferase, it's a bioilluminate material placing quantum dots as a tracking system to create invisible mark. It's like a tattoo. Or it's like scanning like a QR code, but it's invisible on the body. It's using micro needles to embed infrared micro dots to track population, making sure you follow the vax mandates. World Health Organization, right now, they've met. They're saying we need to get the people to do a vax mandate, a passport mandate. That's what they're talking about. We thought it was all over. Oh no, that's not how they work. They come in, they put you under their scrutiny, under their totalitarian, then they back off. Oh, wow. So let's elect the same people that were in office when all this pandemonium happened. So they get in office again, and then they come back again. And then they back off, and then they come down even harder to where it really turns into a totalitarian kind of system. And so this tracking device, it's the plan. And also, it's a vax mandate, and behind the plan is the National Institute of Health, along with the Department of Homeland Security. It's really a passport on the skin for you to travel, for you to do a lot of things, and for you to do even pay bills, because they're now going into the digital dollar. Now, one of the things with this, you could go on the News We Can Use, because Jake has put this on there, if you want to see the whole tutorial, the whole message on that. Not my message, but the one that I drew from, and you can see that. And so what you're finding is this whole passport on the skin. They want to prove that you're vaccinated, and you're one of those that are going along with the leaders, but they're calling the shots, and they don't want any rebels. They don't want you to, to kick against that. In fact, right now, did you read that in the army? If you're in the army and you have a religious, when you have a religious exemption from getting a vaccine, they're trying to kick them out of the army. So, you're not going to be in the army. You're not going to be able to get retirement. Just read that. So really, they're coming down pretty hard, even when we find these vaccines don't do anything. In fact, it's not a pandemic of the unvaccinated, it's a pandemic of the vaccinated. And now the unvaccinated are trying to separate themselves from the vaccinated, because the vaccinated are the ones that are giving the viruses. So I don't know if you've been reading it in the news. But you see, another thing, and let me end with this, this whole idea of the digital dollar. You see, if they can mark you, and they can in a sense control you or see all your movements, how convenient if you just have a mark and no longer do you have to deal with cash. But now the digital dollar will solve everything. It's so instant, it's so easy, it's so quick. You know, you could just pay your bills with, you're scanning and this kind of thing. You see, the experiment of the digital dollar is being rolled out by the Federal Reserve Bank right now, it is, in New York, with involvement from financial companies, including MasterCard, Citibank, Wells Fargo, and others. It's a 12-week experiment. It'll work as a test for the creation of a centralized bank digital currency in the United States, centralized. Then it'll go global, because they want global. Similar to the digital yuan, that's the Chinese yuan. And meanwhile, as they were doing this, the G20 global leaders representing them at the, this just happened in Bali, where they were joined by Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab. He's really the pusher of this. They following the meeting, they announced a new programs that align with the Great Reset. You see, China right now, they've already got this in place. And so you need one currency. And the yuan, they're pushing the yuan because they've already got this set up. And they want everybody to be under that. Now, we don't know how that's going to work out. But here's how draconian it is. In fact, I just, on Sunday, one of the people came up to me and said, Bill, I don't know if it was a sister or, anyway, one of his family members, they were just in New York. They went to a restaurant, and the restaurant wouldn't take cash. It wouldn't take their credit card. It would only take the digital dollar. I went, whoa. You see, it's already happening. It's already happening, but you see, the communists have done this. And you think, well, we got to watch out because communism. No, wait a minute. That's already happening in this political arena. When you have censorship, where you can't, you see, they pulled us off the web because we say things that they don't like. That's what communism is. If they don't like it, they pull you. If they don't like it, they could come and arrest you. That's what they're doing. The system, justice system, are coming and arresting people, unannounced for whatever they want. It's just amazing how it is happening right now. I don't know, maybe they'll come and arrest all of us right now, but that would be strange, wouldn't it? Get your cell phones out so you can record this, send it off. But now, communist China, let me end on this. They've done this. Eventually, they have adopted an authoritarian standard. That's what it is. It's an authoritarian standard. And that's what this whole system is all about. They really want a social credit system, and it's authoritarian. What the Chinese do at this point, they have rules. They have a social credit system. They monitor where every person goes, 1.4 billion people. They know exactly what you do if you live there. And you have a credit score. If you go and you smoke in a non-smoking area, they know. If you jaywalk, they know that. If you do other things that are more, that are worse, they know that. And they have a credit score, and they can shut you down where you can't buy food in a market. They shut you down because of that. They are so totalitarian and controlling. But you see, that's the way the United States is going. Do you read the news? Do you see it? I don't even like to read this because it disturbs me, it upsets me. But you see, that's the way it's going, and you do have those. I'm glad that now the Democrats have taken the House. Maybe it'll slow this down. What did I say? Boy, that was a demonic slip, wasn't it? I was going to say a Freudian slip. Oh, man. But I'm glad you're listening. And then some of the conservative commentators that are pushing up against this stuff. Tucker Carlson, man, that guy is bold. Unbelievable. They've got to have a hit list out on him, But you see some of this stuff, but it's going to come at Christians. Because now what they're talking about is Christian nationalism. Have you ever heard that term before? Christian nationalism? Do you remember maybe back in the 30s? What is it? Christian nationalism? Who pushed that? Hitler, exactly. And who went along with it? The Catholics and the Lutherans? They were talking about God's stormtroopers for God. And it was called Christian nationalism, the Nazis, because they were using the church, But the church was so dead at that time. But now, watch on your news. Now they're going to talk about Christian nationalism like us, those that believe in the Bible. Because I think we're in a time, a very strategic time for us to preach the gospel. And the Bible says, when you see all these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draws near. And I think we're seeing these things come to pass. And it should make us not scared, but it should make us bold and tell family and friends and others who might be kind of on the border. You know, they're not really serving the Lord. They're just kind of biding their time. But to get back to the Lord and start, you know, rededicating and start serving the Lord and being used of God in these last days. Because I really think we're in the last days. So, why don't we stand? You've been sitting for a while. Or you don't have to stand if you're still eating, but why don't we stand, and then I'll have you sit, but let me pray. Father, we do want to thank you so much, Lord, for your love, your grace, your word, your people. Lord, I pray that you would make us bold in these last days. Because, Lord, we see, you might say, the handwriting on the wall. It's not on the wall, but it's in your word. The very things that you've talked about, things that were impossible when John wrote the book of Revelation in about 90 AD, these things could not take place. But now we see them coming to pass. And Lord, I think we're so close. We're so close to you taking the church home to be with you. And then that last 7-year period of history, of the wrath of God being poured out upon the Christ-rejecting world. Lord, I pray that we would be like there were 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Oh, they were religious, the foolish ones, but they had no oil in the lamp. Their lamp couldn't stay lit because no oil, no Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I would pray for those that are religious tonight, those that are here. I pray that you would fill them afresh with your Holy Spirit. Lord, let them make a commitment and say, Lord, I pray that you come in to my heart and my life and blow a fresh breath of your Holy Spirit upon me. And Lord, just renew my faith, I pray. And maybe for those that have never trusted you as Lord and Savior, Lord, sometimes when things are kind of scary, not that they're scary, but it wakes us up to the fact of what's going on in the world. And just the realization that we need to make it right with God. And ask Him to forgive our sins and come into our life and be our Lord and Savior. And if that's you, why don't you acknowledge and say this prayer after me? It's saying, Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. For loving me so much that you would shed your blood, that I could be forgiven. So Lord, this night, I turn from sin and I turn to you. And I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Lord, be my Savior, to be my God, and to be my friend. And I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me a love for your word, a love for you, and a love for your people. And a love to tell others about Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.